This is Fresh Air, and we're talking about what's happening in Boston. And with me now is our TV critic, David Bianculli. And David, usually when there's breaking news like this, you're watching like a lot of TVs at a time,
right,
trying to see how different networks are covering it. And you've done this for years. You've done this through many different crises. So how does this past week compare to other crises that you've monitored in the media in terms of the coverage?
It's so weird that the thing that I think about is that it's not even one that I covered professionally, but it's one within my lifetime. I think, although it's certainly smaller scale, this reminds me of the Kennedy assassination. You know, we had 4 days in November. This is already, you know, 5 days in April. And you have the same sort of thing. It's a crime that took place at a predetermined event along a predetermined route. And then there was the identification of a suspect, the search for a suspect, a policeman who was killed during the, you know, the search for the suspect. And then we already have, you know, one suspect killed and the story is still going on. There are lots of parallels there.
But there's been so much change in the technology since the Kennedy assassination.
You're right. You're right. I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, in 1963 with John Kennedy, you had Abraham Zapruder, who was the one guy who had a little camera that took silent footage and was the only specific record. This time we had authorities asking everybody around the finish line to please send in their images, and you had security cameras, which led to the apprehension. And then – or it led to the breaks in the case, where once they threw it on television and used television to say, here are our two suspects, within 12 hours, you know, look at what happened and what's still happening as we're speaking.
So what's some of the best and worst that you've seen of live coverage?
The worst is kind of apparent. It's CNN. And you don't have to have, you know, Jon Stewart to make fun of it if you were watching it itself. Anybody can make mistakes in terms of breaking news coverage like this because you're basically doing unfiltered reporting. And in the best cases, you don't do that. The biggest problem with news organizations, and CNN was very guilty of this time, is when you make a mistake, is not to admit it immediately, not to back down from it, and not to correct it. There was a long silence after they said that, you know, the wrong, you know, they misidentified a suspect and that he had been apprehended, and then just sort of let it sit for a long time. There were other news organizations that were pulled into the same thing, but CNN, I think, was the most egregious and probably lost the most this time. And then on the other side, when you have somebody like Pete Williams of MSNBC who is saying, no, that's not true, what you're hearing on other places, and that turns out to be credible, that helps that individual and that organization.
You know, MSNBC is related to NBC and has access to some of NBC's reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC, of course, has MSNBC to constantly be giving the news and take advantage of some of its reporters. CBS and ABC don't have an equivalent.
Yeah, well, they sort of made the mistake of giving up real estate in the cable game when they could have gotten it. CBS had CBS Cable early on and could have built it into a news organization. They didn't see the value of that. And ABC tried and really didn't do the same sort of thing. MSNBC was the one that said, no, I think this is something and we'll fight CNN. And that's been going on ever since. But thinking about the Kennedy assassination again, that was the introduction to American television of 24-hour news coverage. It had never been done before. And now we expect it. And it's sort of people still, even in the internet age, we still tune to TV and radio to keep watching things even when there's nothing being advanced.
You know, my sense is I've been just tuning in. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be there when there is news.
Yes.
I have it tuned in when there is news. And I also just like the feeling of feeling connected to people who are thinking about the story and are trying to express not only what's happening in the news but how people are feeling.
It's soothing and it's reassuring just to be in that community. We're losing the overall TV community, but that's a big part of it. And you do get to see things like when the uncle was just speaking within an hour or so of when we're speaking right now. You know, you learn things live.
So your obsession and your area of expertise is television. You've been mm-hmm. a TV critic your whole adult life. Do you follow the news on Twitter too? Or other social media.
I try to go to other social media, but I'm not as good at Twitter as I should be in terms of letting these things know. I mean, in terms of leading me to another source. I'm still old school enough that I'm looking at a lot of images at the same time.
And what about on your website? What are you doing?
On my website, I have people that are doing better things than that for me. You know, we have social media people who can do that sort of thing. But I'll be writing about this on the website later on. But right now, it's just the power of television all over again.
Well, David, I want to thank you. Before I allow you to go, any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
Just that I think that even when networks are stupid or reporters are stupid, these days viewers are so smart that they know when to reject bad reporting and to switch to another network. And I just hope you keep doing that. And I hope you're not doing that with me right now.
David Bianculli is Fresh Air's TV critic. Thank you, David, for joining us.
All right. Thanks for this.